Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week, we have a number of really wonderful guests, not in chronological order. We will have the Ravid of Yerushalayim, Harav HaGoyin, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Mechaber of Mayadim Uzmanim, and Shuvas Van Hagis. We will have Rav David Yosef. He's the Rav Rashi of Har Nof. He's a member of the Mayetzes Gdelei HaTorah. He is the Mechaber of the Sefer Halacha Brura 12 Chalakim. He's Rosh Kol of Yechavadas and head of all Sfardi Moistis in Eretz Yisrael, so certainly an expert on Chinuch. We will have the Meshamish B'Kodesh by Rabbi Yashiv and the Rav of Malo Tafna, the head of the Bezdin, the Geras Bezdin, Rav Nachum Eisenstein, to hear Rabbi Yashiv's psak on the discrimination in schools. We will have Rabbi Meir Hertz from Lakewood, with his boots on the ground there, the founder and the Manal of Tashbar, a large yeshiva there, to speak about here what's going on. We'll have Rabbi Gedalia Weinberger, the president emeritus of the Aguda, Tar Vadas, Tar Masaira. And we will have from Minneapolis a noted educator, Rabbi Binyamin Ginsberg. So we have really a fantastic slate of guests. You can listen to us Matzah Shabbos from 11 to 12 midnight on WMCA 570 AM and on the Nachum Segal Network. You can listen to us Monday morning at NachumSegal.com or on Tuesday evening from 7 to 8, that's drive time on your way home, on WSNR 620 AM. You can find all our shows at HeadlinesBook.com. We have either an audio or podcast section. And we now have a new hotline. You can listen to all our previous shows for the Luddites. They can call in 732-806-8700. You can actually get a list online. Listen to the ones you missed. You can email any questions or comments to info@headlinesbook.com. So before we start, I wanted to give just a little thought about the parashas that we're going through, which is the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And here's something interesting. The entire creation is 32 verses, 32 psukim, from Bereshis till the end of Maisa Bereshis. And you know how big that is? That's really big. They say that the world is, the known universe is 13.3 billion light years. That's really big. Light travels at 670 million miles per hour. That's really fast. That's faster than a Tesla. 670 million miles per hour. This is 13.3 billion light years, is the amount of the size of the universe that we know of, and they have no clue of how much larger it's bigger than that. So all of that, 34 psukim. Hakamas HaMishkan, 6 parshas, it's discussed. Easily 10 times the amount. A tiny little space. Like, why is that? Additionally, it's amazing, and Shlomo writes in, Melachim Aleph Ches Chav Zayin, he says, Hine Hashamayim hu Shmei Hashamayim lo yechal kaluka. He says, the boundless, the limitless Shamayim, heavens, can't contain you, and yet you will live in this tiny little abode. It's impossible. Why? But when you think of it, all that enormous universe, all of it out there, it's missing one thing. There's no free will. There's nobody to oppose. It's easy. But here on this world, there's so much opposition. Once the Rabbeinu Shalom, God let free will out of Pandora's box, he opened it to hurt, to embarrassment, to the things, nasty things that people do. They manipulate, they irritate, they hurt each other, they frustrate, they reject, divorce, humiliate, molest. It creates real issues. To create something holy, a spot of holiness among all this anger, resentment, lust, that's something special. To create something holy among all this angst, that's something special. That's not out there in the whole universe. There was once a New Yorker. He was in the airport in Dallas. He was waiting for his plane. And he's sitting there under these two huge Texans. Everybody in Texas is very big. So one 6'4" Texan with a big hat turns to the other one. He says, you know, my name is Billy Joe. I have a ranch. It's 55,000 acres. It has on it 2,000 long steer, and it's called the 555 Ranch. The other Texan, who was 6'6", says, my name is Billy Bob. I have an 88,000-acre ranch. It's called the Billy Bob Ranch. And the little guy says, the New Yorker says, I have 20 acres. So they look at him and they say, and what's your little 20-acre ranch called? So he looks at them and he says, Downtown Dallas. Right? Now we can understand that 20 acres of downtown Dallas, some 68 million land of prairie, desert prairie, doesn't, right? What's it all worth? To create, it's very, very hard a lot of times to get up in the morning and to do what we're supposed to do. To create a tiny little abode, a little Yiddish shtub with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim among all the things that are going out on in the world out there. That's much more difficult than 13.3 billion light years. So when we do something good, it's a phenomenal value. We put the size of it on the most unimaginable steroids and give ourselves a pat on the back. 34 psukim to create multiverses and 6 parshas, hundreds of psukim to create that opening for the Shechina to be Shaira here on this world. So last week, a big Baal Tzedakah, Shlomi Yehuda Rechnitz, gave a speech in Lakewood about, I don't know, what would you call it, discrimination, victimization in the school system of various children. And we're speaking about children who don't get into the school system and they wet their pillows nightly with tears. And halachically, this creates problems. I mean, the Gemara in Babastran, Daf Chafalov, says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla was misaken. This is 2,000 years ago. We're very highly educated for a long time. He was misaken that every village has to have a school for every single child. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam Paskin, the way the Shulchan Aruch and Yaradei and Reish Mempeh says that we meishivin melamdei tinoikis b'chol ir v'ir. And listen to this, the language. A city that does not have a school, they would excommunicate the people in the city or in the village until they put brought in an education system, until they implemented an education, they excommunicated, they put them in chayim, hayu machrimin oisam. I mean, talk about the culture of chinuch, it's in Shema, limadetem oisam es b'nechem. So this is with Takanas Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. So it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, this is not a minig, it's not, maybe if it was a minig, it would be better. But it's ikrei hadin, and so when we don't let children in, we're you know, the Vada ear, the city, the Anshia ear, are being over Takanos Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. And additionally, he's going to speak about humiliation, about V'haftal Recha Kamoicha, about, you know, being Machzik B'machleikis G'koyrach V'adasai. And if the kids, he says, they go off the derech like he speaks about, Leisamid Al Dam Recha. Really serious, Isurim. And things that go to the heart of us as a community. So I'd like to play his comments, and then let's see the reaction, because is it really true? I mean, does he have all his facts right? Because these are very, you know, serious charges against a very, very special and holy community. So let's go hear what he said.
I'd like to discuss a self-made, man-made problem that we created and is completely fixable if we just cared enough. A problem that causes our Avreichim, Achenu B'nai Yisroel, untold pain, incapacitating daily anxiety, rivers of tears, fathers who don't know where to turn, made to feel that they failed their innocent children, mothers who cry themselves to sleep every night, and pure Busha Barabim, stinging shame to our Tzayim Kodesh, sheer embarrassment for our Tinoikis Shel Beis Rabban, that people 5 times their age wouldn't be able to cope with. A 5-year-old told every day, tomorrow I promise Zizkeit you'll be able to get on the bus with your friends. And tomorrow comes, And they're ready by the front door, their backpack bright and early, clearly excited, only to be told that it's just another few days, just another few days, when you'll be able to do, and you'll be able to join your friends. You think these children are stupid? You think for one second that they don't realize that they're the only ones being left out? At their tender young age, they try to put on a normal face till they get up and hide in their room and cry more. His parents have already cried their hearts out to the Rabbanim, to the school administration. Please, please take our child. It's 6 weeks and he's still not in school. A 13-year-old girl who clearly sees that nobody wants her. She's the town's psylus. Can you imagine an innocent Bas Yisrael putting on a face for friends, claiming she hasn't had enough time to decide which school she wants to go to, only to lay her head down at night on the pillow which is still wet from the tears of the night before, knowing that out of 15,000 girls, she's the only one that nobody wants. We feel unwanted if we don't get invited to a chasna. We have tinnitus. Even if she eventually gets pushed into a school, how can that damage ever be repaired? Over the years, there are and have been angelic askanim who have gotten these kids into schools. Do you think for a second that the problem was resolved? We don't realize that our actions and inactions are life-altering? And then we ask, what are we doing wrong? Why are so many children going off the derech? Those memories, those nightmares will never go away. Broken families, publicly shamed children and their parents, ongoing pain and suffering. Who's going to take responsibility for all those tears? Who's going to take achrayus for that seemingly never-ending pain? Who has the right, who has that godlike complex that feels they have the right to inflict such irreparable tsar? If you're ready to take the achrayus, then stand up now. Show your face. Amoid, amoid. Shari dzmois loinin olu. There are times when our tefillos aren't in the skabel. They don't even get to the Eibishter. But our tears, our genuine tears that come straight from our neshamas, never get blocked. The Eibishter, the Kol Yochel, can't possibly ignore the tears of his precious Am HaNivchar. Yet we sit in our offices watching a Yiddish mother, a mother who has no limits on what she'll do for her children, while she cries her heart out. And our answer, I feel terrible. I wish I could accept your child, but I push it have no room. You should know that I push it lose sleep every night over this. But what can I do? We're busting by the seams. The principal won't let. Or if I take you, then I'm going to have to take Yenna. You can't imagine how much I'm trying for you. I try every day. Mayri v'rabayisai, spare me. The last time in life you get any credit for effort is in the 12th grade. Or in Lakewood, it's probably the 4th grade by now. L'tzareinu harav, we have a machla in Lakewood. No other out-of-town community would ever allow a child to be left without a school. In Los Angeles, if a child wouldn't have a school the first day, the whole community would be all over it. The same thing would happen in Baltimore, Chicago, Toronto, or anywhere else. This is basically a Lakewood machla. Yes, there's a few kids in Muncie, more than a few kids in Brooklyn, but nowhere else. And in no other time in history was this problem close to the magnitude it is in Lakewood. And I mean the whole process, even the children that get in. How many of them and their parents schwitz for months, making phone calls, waiting for phone calls? How dare you destroy another child's life because of your opinion of the other child? How dare you face Hashem by davening when you snuffed out Yiddish and Neshama? Besides the Lashon Hara involved, and probably 90% of the time it's Mitzi Shemra, this is Mamish Shvichas Damim. If the school isn't good enough for your child, shut your mouth and go find him a school that works, or create your own school just for your child. Make a yeshiva just for him. This way nobody will ever be able to have any negative influence on your child prodigy. But don't be surprised if in a few years you meet him Matzit Shabbos in J2, because you were right, he is brilliant. And he heard those phone calls that you made to those maestas for him and for his siblings. I call on every principal. I call on every Rosh HaMaisid. I don't call on you. I'm munning you that from today on, if you ever get such a comment that if you take in that kid, the other family not send their kid to your school, have the courage to tell them, we apologize, but we clearly are not the place for your child prodigy.
Wow, some really serious, you know, charges there. So we did an interview with Rabbi Gedalia Weinberg, a real tzaddik of a person, you know, former president emeritus of Aguda, of Torah Vadas, Torah Messiah, a person who's given most of his life to Tzarchei Tzibur. And you're going to hear a totally different opinion of what the realities are. Two people can see the same thing. This is Einstein's theory of relativity. Two people, two locations, see the same thing, and each one sees it totally differently, and they're both true. So let's go to the phone. Rabbi Gedalia, can we go on to another topic, which is a sensitive topic, which has been in the news lately?
Sure.
That is that there are, you know, there are many yeshivas that are have a particularly a high, you know, acceptance standards. You know, Rabbi Rechnitz was on the, you know, Shlomi Yehud was on the, you know, spoke about recently about the concept of elitism and not to take in from this family or this, you know, if you don't, you're not this, et cetera, you're not this high as scholastics, et cetera. And what would be, as somebody who has spent, you know, again, Agudas Yisrael, Beis Medrash Gevaya, Torah Vadas, Torah Mesira, Daf Yomi Commission, as somebody who's very involved in Chinuch, what is your opinion of that?
Okay, I mean, I beg to differ with some of the people, some people complaining, and I am involved with this issue. I have, each year, people call me to help try to get them into specific schools, and I try, especially, you know, people who've worked in organizations that I'm involved with. I try to help as much as I can. Not by a long shot always successful. I haven't been successful for some of my own grandchildren at times. But I think that the issue has really been distorted. I do not believe that there is such a crisis. I think that at the end of the day, every student gets into a school. What's really happening is the following. If you look at a typical school, and I can speak primarily of Lakewood because that's the area where there's the most pressure of getting students in by the shift in demographics, it's not so hard to get into schools in Brooklyn as it is to get them into schools in Lakewood. And what happens is that it's not a question of there being enough space, because at the end of the day, everybody ends up in school. What happens is that the typical school, the more traditional, the ones that have been around longest, have a policy that, and this is a policy of the town, that if you took in one child from the family, you must take in the rest of the children. Okay, that siblings get an automatic admission. Now, of course, a person who hasn't gotten any children into a school feels that this is very unfair. But, you know, it's once he gets one child in, and of course he's very happy because he knows that if he gets one into a boys' school, all the rest of his boys will be in school. Into a girls' school, all the rest of his daughters will be in school. But what really is that everybody's trying to get into the same school, and typically you can have a class of 30 students, and 22 are siblings of other students that have been in that school. So there's only 8 places that are open. And the school selects of who they want to take into those 8 places. What they usually look for, especially through an elementary school, but through in high school as well, people that are compatible with the student body. It's not a question of elitism necessarily, although there are schools that want to take in the best students, but it's more a question of there's a certain limited amount of spaces, and there are, you know, for the 8 students, for the 8 spaces, there may be 40 applicants. 32 of them are going to walk away saying that the
place is elitist. It's, yeah. You know, it's a, you're saying that, Rabbi Mr. Rechnitz, it's a machlokes and metzias between you and him. He said that there are many, many students who don't get in, and you're just saying they do get in, but maybe not necessarily the schools they want to get into.
That, my experience is that it's exactly correct. They don't get into the schools that they specifically wanted to. And I can tell you case studies of many. There was a young man who I know, very, very fine. He wanted to get into a specific school. I tried for him. He didn't get in. And I told him.
Where was this?
It was in Lakewood.
And how old was he?
This was his first child that he was getting into school. He was like 27, 28.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he had a child that was ready to go to school. And I told him that, look, you want to go into one of the traditional girls' schools, yes, these schools are very good. However, there are many schools that are out there. There's plenty of others that are ready to take you, and he knew that they were. And I said, you'll find that if you go to some of the newer schools, you may find them to be even better because you have younger teachers, you have younger principals. The principals that they take is they pick the cream of the crop of among teachers and people who can do well, and they are really dedicated with, you know, belay the nefesh to make sure that that school works. I spoke to him a couple of months later.
And what about?
And
he was
thrilled with where he went.
But there are parents who say they can't get their kids into school.
At the end of the day, I believe every single parent gets his kid into school, and if the number is not there, it's very, very small. They will complain because they only applied to the schools that they wanted to, and they weren't accepted anywhere, and then they're going to have to settle for someplace else, and it's not so easy. But that's the, I really mean that I believe that very strongly that that is the reality.
So Rabbi Gedalia says basically that Rabbi Rechnitz does not have his facts right and that everybody does get into the school. So I said, let's speak to a Menahel in Lakewood who was courageous enough to be interviewed and who can tell us exactly what is going on the ground there and has 25 years of experience in Lakewood. Let's go to our interview with Rabbi Meir Hertz. So Rabbi Meir, Lakewood recently has been in the news because of the speech given by Reb Shlomi Yehuda Rechnitz about the problem that there are children who don't seem to be getting into schools. Can you tell our listenership what are the problems they are encountering in Lakewood? And then perhaps afterwards we'll try to get to the solutions.
Very good. I will try. Lakewood has two unique problems. Number one, an extraordinarily rapid growth. Just to give you an example, Reb David, and to your listeners, in 1995, there were exactly 5,000 children in the public schools and 5,000 children in the parochial school in the Moisdus. Today, that has shifted to 30,000 children, Bli Ein Hara Kinirbu, in the Moisdus, and the same 5,500 in the public schools. This is a rate of growth which is unprecedented in any other community that we are aware of. That's number one. So there's a real, genuine space problem. Not enough classrooms, not enough seats, and all the attendant problems of acceptance are impacted by this infrastructural stress. To answer your question, what is the solution? I think the solution is very simple. Going to be harder to accept, but the solution is very simple. I think if there's 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 children left at the end of the process or the enrollment process, all the maestros have to come together, throw a gyral, and accept them all into their schools per capita. If you have 100 out of 1,000, whatever, then your school has 1,000 children, you take 10%, you take this percent, etc. One child per 100, one child per 50. Distribute the children. Don't make them feel bad. Nobody is selected because of who their parents are, who their grandmother was, and what city they came from, and whether they came from Chalab or whether they came from Chelm or any other place in the world. And just accept them per capita and solve it. I don't need machers and machers in. I don't need outside forces. Moizdas hold the key. They have the resources. They're the responsible party for solving the problem.
So,
and there's yeshivas in Lakewood. God bless them. Chelam l'araisa. They can enforce that, and they can provide the leadership to say, if you don't join this lottery, you're mechutz l'machne. They come up with that declaration, the problem is resolved. The community listens to the Rashi Yeshiva. The Rashi Yeshiva have their finger on the pulse. And if they make such a takana, I think the Moisdas will step up to the plate.
So in closing, on this segment of the program, in reference to Lakewood, I think Rabbi Rechnitz, he's getting calls from people who are in deep pain. And you know, there are bad actors out there in every group. There are certain mechanchem who just are bad actors, and there are probably certain parents, there are nasty people in the world who say, don't accept this kid, or I'll take my kid out of the school. There are people, and that's, you know, if you're a psychologist, you think the whole world is crazy, because that's all you see. But if you speak to Rabbi Weinberg, he says everybody gets in. Well, we have a rule, you know, you can't prove facts from a negative. So lo ra'inu eini raya, but Rabbi Hertz is saying, yes, there are every year 50, 75, 100 kids who don't get in. And he says, why aren't they getting in? Because the city grew by 600% over the last 20 years. It's an astonishing number. That's a 9.5% annual growth. To put that in retrospect, the United States grows at 1% a year. This grows at 950%, 950% the rate of the rest of the United States. You know, I'm a little bit of a math aficionado. I grabbed my calculator a few minutes ago. I did the math. I said, if Lakewood, Bezer Hashem, continues growing at the same rate in another 70 years, which is the amount of time that she's been opened, it will be larger than the metropolitan size of New York City, if you compound the size of the city at 9.5%. So it's basically, it's impossibility at this rate of growth to fit that many new children into the school every single year, and people will be hurt. It's inevitable. So Rabbi Hertz's solution is the Moises have to come together. Well, that could be a solution, but guess what? At this rate of return, it's almost an impossibility. So unless the greater community really, like, you know, puts its head on really strong and saying, how do we build enough schools? It's really going to be hard, and there are really going to be a lot of hurt people because the growth is just rampant. So it's sort of a, you know, it's a me'uvas that comes from bracha. It's, you know, it's a gedder of a harikaisi lachem bracha. It's ad b'li dai truly here, and many people are hurt. But it doesn't seem, given these demographics, even if everybody has the best of intent, people will be hurt. So are there bad stories, hair-raising stories? There are. Rabbi Rechnitz is telling us honest truth. But is it an exception? Look, I lived in Lakewood for many years. It's overall lovely people. I challenge you, tell me a city where you could go into the grocery store and have the cashier and you enter into a discussion about a Ramban and have him vigorously disagree with a pshat in a Ramban. Or I was at a chabura in Lakewood a number of years ago where they had a rav come in and give a chabura, and he said, there's a favarfin gemara in Chulin, there's a wayward gemara. And there was a young man there, he smiled, and he quietly commented to the magachir, he said, here in Lakewood, there's no such a thing as a favarfin gemara. So the speaker looked at him, and he said, okay, tell me where it is. He said, tell me the first three words he started saying. And he said, Chulin, andaf tzadik. And the man smiled at him. Where else do you have something like this? You know, where the postman can tell you a Dvar Torah, and the man in the restaurant, and the cashier, and it's a very special place, and it's growing at an incredible rate of growth, and they will have really severe growing pains. So, listening to all three truths, I take Rabbi Hertz, whose feet are on the ground, as the one closest to the real truth here, and I think they're all telling the truth, and I say, you know, it's something that has to be addressed. But except for a few bad apples, I sort of doubt that there's malicious intent. I'd like to address another issue here, and that is the debate, should schools be allowed to have elitist policies? Should we have a right to say, you know what, we have very high demands, we don't want kids who come from, you know, working backgrounds, the parents are working, because our children live on such a humble, modest lifestyle. We live on $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and if our kids are exposed to others, it's not fair to them. So we would like to be more isolationist. Or some say no, inoculation. Expose them to many. Reb Malkiel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, went to Betzalel Day School, where I imagine most of the parents didn't cover their hair and many of the women wore pants, right? And he turned out just fine, it seems. Right? And, you know, Rav Gifter, many of these, they went to public school, many of them, right? Many of the Rabbanim. So which one is it? Is it isolation or inoculation? So we have, you know, on this, we'll speak to Rav Sternbuch and we'll hear Rabbi Yashiv's sheet on it, etc. So let's go to Rav Sternbuch, the Ravid of Yerushalayim, formerly the Rav of South Africa. Let's hear his opinion. We have a community that has children that the schools are very selective who they take.
No.
There are schools, they don't want this type of child, they don't want that type of child. Is a yeshiva allowed to take a policy that we don't want to take children, let's say, if the mother doesn't dress a certain, even if the child itself is good, is a yeshiva allowed to make policy that we only want a particular type of a family, a particular background?
Yeah, you can do everybody's got the right to give the education he wants, and if he feels to be together with other children, we should try to do for other people, for those who can't be accepted there. But you can't force somebody to give an education which is against his wish.
No, but let's say the child itself fits in perfectly. But
the child is influenced, we've got the right to be afraid that he is influenced, although maybe we don't see it straight away.
And so what do we do with the children then who don't have schools?
Yeah, we have to make for them, we have to work for them.
So could we force the schools and the community to say, listen, there are 50 or 100...
Or even those who want their children on their own, would have to pay to make such an institution for these children.
Could we force?
We try that they should repent. That we hope that if they don't take them in, they'll throw away the instruments which are not allowed.
Could we force yeshivas to say, listen, there's 100 kids that didn't
I'm
get it.
I'm talking about the internet and the televisions, all these sorts of things.
So we cannot push the yeshivas to say, we want you to take a certain percentage of these children, because otherwise they won't have
you
where to go?
Tell them if you want to come to our school, you mustn't have a house, a television, or an internet.
And let's say the parents agree to that, but they say, we don't want to take you because you're working. We don't want to take you because we think, whatever the case is, you're not enough of a bent type.
They can't take you to court in a private school, I imagine.
Yes, they're all private schools.
I don't know what they could do, but the private school could certainly do it. The public school also should try to do it.
Could a community, a tzibur, that has 100 children that didn't get into schools because the schools don't want them, could the mamuna of the
They must make a school for them. It's a takonim of shuv and gamra. Everybody must see all children should have a Jewish education.
So Rav Sternbuch's position is that schools can take an attitude that we have very high standards, with the proviso that those who don't have those standards, those children who don't live up to those standards, have to be educated as well, as per Takanos Rabbi Yishuv ben Gamla. Now, it could be that Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Rashke Bahag, the Paisik of America, the Paisik of the world, if you look in Yeridei in two places, it's in Yeridei Chele Gimel. One is Tshuva Ayin Beis, and one is Tshuva Ayin Zayin. In Tshuva Ayin Zayin, he talks about a mother who married a guy, and the child was taken in by somebody else and sent to a yeshiva. And you can understand that the parents in the class were somewhat distraught. Ramashi said, I'm sorry, you have to keep the child as long as it's not makalkal lacherim. And in Ayin Beis, in Shuv Ayin Beis, Ramashi talks about a similar case where he says a marshas didn't want her child to wear tzitzis out of the yeshiva while the child was not in yeshiva. And Ramay said, as long as she agrees that the child is in yeshiva, it can wear tzitzis, the yeshiva is mechuyev to take the children. And Ramesha does not seem to be distinguishing between a community school and a private school, because he's hagdama to the tshuva is it's anhagas moira b'yeshiva. It's just anhaga of a moira b'yeshiva, and he doesn't seem to. So you could say he was talking about a community school, but you don't. Doesn't he certainly doesn't say that within the tshuva. So he is more liberal, more inclusive, may it be, than Rav Sternbach. And we're going to now get on the phone. We'll have Rabbi Nachum Eisenstein. We're going to hear what Rabbi Yashiv's opinion was about that. So let's go. And then we will close off with Rav David Yosef, who really is very inspiring, the way he talks about isolationism versus inclusionism, isolationism, universalism, inoculate. Do we inoculate our children, or do we build barriers around our children? Interesting debate. We have the honor of having on the phone with us from Eretz Yisrael, Harav HaGoyin Reb Nachum Eisenstein. He's the Rav of Malos Dafna, which is right next to the Mir Yeshiva. He was the Meshamish B'Kodesh by Derashke Bahag, Rav El Yashiv, for around 25 years, who also appointed him as the Av Bezdin of the Geirus Bezdin. Welcome, Harav Nachum.
Hello to all the listeners. So first of all, I want to say Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, that here in Israel we've been dealing with these problems for many years already. Over here there's also political issues, that there's political parties that have their agendas, etc. But the issue which the Gdeli Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael have been dealing with in already for many years, and it's we're dealing with nefashis. Every parents want the best for their children, but there's a lot of problems involved. Just let me remind you, obviously, not remind you, tell you of a story which happened probably around 20 or 25 years ago. That I was sent as a shliach from Rav Yosef, that I was a shliach to attend a kenis of Rabbanim. It was in one of the hotels here in Yerushalayim, to deal with the Russians are coming with the teenage children, the younger children, how we should daiga for them, that they should get a proper chinuch after their parents and their grandparents were in Russia for tens of years, 80 years, that they had didn't have the opportunity to get a proper Jewish education. So I was young then. I still try to consider myself young also now, but some people say I'm getting old. And there was a choshuva older rabbanim there. And even though I represented Rav Yosef, I was his official shliach. I was the last one to speak, so I don't know if they gave me the COVID that since I represented Rav Yosef, so I was like the Rosh Sanhedrin who speaks last, or because of my age, so they pushed me off to the end, and people were getting up there, and they were giving speeches, and I didn't have any patience to sit anymore till it finally came my turn after many hours of hearing the same people coming, repeating everything, to make takanas, that every school should take in 10% Russians, we should make quotas and obligate the schools to take in a certain amount of people. There was a certain school, I think it was in Petah Tikva, that the Menayel said he already implemented this program. And everyone's coming, speeches, how it's our achrayus, meaning the achrayus of the Rabbanim, of the schools, of the Mechanchim, to deal with these, to help these children, even though they're way far behind. They've been coming from a place where they had no Jewish education, but to obligate every institution to take in 10%. Then Aniyah Cotton was the last one to speak, and no one was too much interested in listening anymore because everyone was just gossiping over the same thing. And they figured I would just give a rubber stamp to what they said before. And I asked, I only need 3 minutes to speak. only 3 minutes to speak, and I said I came here, as you all know, as a shliach from Rav Yosef. He told me specifically what to say at this meeting, and I'm saying it now in these 3 minutes, and I'm not going to give any speeches or any shtick lechteir, because Rav Yosef told it to me in 1 minute, and I'm going to expand it to 3 minutes, so people should have a clearer concept of exactly what Rav Yosef said. But what he said is that the obligation, the achrayus, of the kehilas, of the cities, are that we have to make sure that every child who wants a Yiddish education, al kairos hakodesh, it's our responsibility to make sure that every child has the opportunity to get an education, a Jewish education. However, it's also our obligation to make sure that everyone who wants a better education, call it frumer, what they're calling in America, there's all kinds of new words they made up. And when I left America many tens years ago, that they didn't have these words in the dictionary of people that they feel they're better, they're this, it's not. Well, we also say clearly that everyone has the right to try to get for his child the best education possible and the best standards of Yiddishkeit, how that person runs his house. So therefore, he says, we cannot force, or we cannot make takonis, that schools have to take in children who may lower the level of the educational level, beruchnius, of the schools. However, he was very, very strong about this. It's our achrayus that we have to make sure that every child has a place to go, and the kilas have to make sure that there's schools on different levels to take in each child as to what chanoich v'nairo pidarko, what the level of that person is. And for state technically, the schools for the Russians need special. I mean, afterwards it was set up, and I don't know how many years again. I don't remember the time frame that with the guidance of Rav Pam, the Rav Ram Pam, the Rav Shiva Tzvi Kozel Avracha, a school system called Shuvu, and they did a wonderful. Not they did; they're still doing a wonderful job. I have connections with them in Ma'in Yonim, which is not the topic of the conversation now, and these schools were set up, and it's exactly what Rav Yosef felt had to be done, is it was to set up school, and these children are doing much better. They're doing much better than if they would have gone into other schools, which they couldn't have kept up with the schools. They might have felt out of place over there, and they would have maybe lowered the level of the school, of the educational level, which that school tried to keep.
So there's no question about it.
The bottom line is there's no question about it that the opinion of Rav Yosef was Mendaitoi Das Teure, is that the kehilas have to make sure. And in the out-of-town cities where there's only one or two schools or three schools, I come from out-of-town city, and the schools on different levels, and every child goes to a school which he feels is he's more comfortable with, it, call it frumer schools, less frumer schools, wherever it is.
So tell me if I'm saying this over correctly. There are two different obligations. Parents have a right, and schools have a right, to have high-level schools with very stringent standards. But the community is still, the kehila is still obligated to create schools for those who cannot reach those standards so that no child should be left behind. Is that fair to say?
Not fair to say. That's 100% what I'm saying.
So let me ask you, let me follow this up with another question. The schools that have, quote-unquote, an elitist view, when they say we have very high standards how to let children in, right? Do they also have the right to say, not only are we makbid on whether the boy or the girl could keep up with the limud, with the scholastics, etc., but we don't want you if you're not from a certain house? What would Rebbe Yashiv say in such a situation?
Again, it's exactly what we're saying, that if the mechanchim or the parents who go to that school and the manayel of the school, and I hope that every school should have a vada rabbanim, an independent rabbinical board, that if there's any shailas, they're the ones who decide with no negiyas. And if the menahim and the people who are in charge of the school feel that letting in certain children who come from different homes might lower the standard or the things which the children are exposed to. So I'll just give you an example. Here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the Beis Yaakov schools or even the Chadarim don't want to let in families that come from, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we live in a more modest lifestyle, more tzanua, and it's about families that they go away vacations in the Bahamas, I call it, or other places, and in all kinds of places, they go to hotels, which is not for Yontif in the summer, and et cetera, which is not in the spirit of the education which the school wants to expose these children. And if these children will be in the school, there's no question about it. They'll talk to their friends about it. They'll talk to their friends about it and can lower the level of education which the school is trying to achieve.
Agreed.
So
what would be the case, Rendell? What would be the situation if, let's say, the family did not go on vacations, but the father was, let's say, working, and the school did not want if the father is working. What would Rabbi Yashiv, and the boy was 100% up to, what would Rabbi Yashiv hold about that?
First of all, I don't believe there's a school that run by Erlicha people that will not let a child in because the parents are working. There's Baruch Hashem, there's many, many, especially in America, it's much more common as over here, parents that they learned many years in yeshiva for parnasa reasons, they had to go and seek a parnasa, and they run the house al tayrus hakodesh mamish, that where the children see that the parents come home at 4 or 5 o'clock or at 6 o'clock, and they run to the beis medrash after copying something to eat and saying hello to their wife and to the children, or they get up. I was in America a month ago, and I was in Passaic, and I davened and had a davened in a very early minyan. I walked into shuls of Machaya Pashat Balabatim at 5:30 in the morning. It was pitch dark. The shul was full of Balabatim who were on the way to work afterwards, and they died. They couldn't even daven yet. It was still too dark. It was before this man. They learned, they davened, and they ran to work. It was Mamash Kiddush Hashem. I don't believe that a child was brought up in such a house and is exposed to the love of Torah, to Avos HaTorah, and to Yiras Shamayim, that a school would not let in a child if that's the only reason.
So it is an obligation then. In other words, you can put it back to the schools if there is no school willing to accept these children. Yashiv's psak was very clear. Yeshivas have a right to maintain a very high standard, which, by the way, in the secular community, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, they all have the same concept. Please don't join us if you can't keep up with our scholastics or our policies, etc.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's a concept that every child has to have a yeshiva. So here's the question.
Correct.
I put to you. If I was coming today to Rabbi Yashiv, how would he respond to the following question? In our community, many yeshivas have this very high standard. There's a sense of elitism where the Harvard, Yale, Brisk of our community, whatever the case may be. And when it comes to the girls who are, or the boys, who don't fit in, everybody says, listen, it's not my problem. Yes, the Kehillah needs a school for them, so that's the Kehillah's problem, but it's not my. Whereas everybody just passes the buck and says, that's not my crisis, just to run my yeshiva. How do we deal with a situation like that?
We deal very simply and practically. It was very successful with Matasyon Solomon, Rafur Shlema, was made a takana with the haskama of Rav Yashiv, that he came personally to Rav Yashiv to discuss this Indian, is that all the schools have to get together, the rabbanim in the city have to get together and make sure that every child has a place to study, to go to school, which is tsugapas, which is fit for him.
Everybody's the Aleph schools. There is no Bay school. So do the Aleph schools have to accept the Bay students?
If there's no other place, they have to accept them. But the answer is that the Kehillah, the Rabbanim in the city, have to, and the Menahim from the school shall help them to set up a school for the base students.
But if there is none, then they would be obligated to take them.
No question about it.
So we had Rabbi Yashiv's Meshamish B'Kodesh, who said that we do have a right to be somewhat exclusionary. As long as everybody has a school to go to, we do have a right to say we have a more highbrow school, a more, say, quote-unquote, elitist school, more privileged, it's more exclusive, and we have a school for those that are otherwise. And even though it's possible Reb Moshe seemingly took a different position, Reb Sternbuch in Eretz Yisrael certainly seems to agree with Reb Eliashiv's position. Here's a mechanech in America who really puts forward Reb Moshe's opinion, and he's a mechanech with 30-some-odd years' experience, Rabbi Gavriel Ginsberg, a noted mechanech. I put the question to him, also from somebody hands on the ground, how does it work in the real world? Let's go to our interview. Does a private school have the right to say we only want children from a home that is, you know, a sort, according to the standards that we set, a particular chush of a home? We don't want children from divorced homes. We don't want children from Sfaradish homes. We don't want children from Bali Tshuva homes. We don't want children who are... Do they or don't they have the right to set those standards? A private school.
I guess privately owned institutions, organizations, enterprises have different rights, if you want to use that word, rights. I think it may be a legal right, but definitely not a moral and ethical right. I think once you are a school, whether you own privately or a community, you have a responsibility to your ultimate person, an ultimate serving, you're serving Hashem.
So we've had, you know, the opinions that can we be elitist or not? And we're going to hear a beautiful excerpts from an interview with Reb David Yosef, the son of the Rishon Litzion. He was the incredible Reb David Yosef. His son, he's the head of the Sfaradish Maestas in Eretz Yisrael, the Rav Rashi of Harnuf, a brilliant person. And listen to the way he talks about something that's not being discussed. It's true, maybe morally, halachically, you can be elitist, you can be cliquish, but what about Ayev Esabriyes Umekarvam Latayra? Like, what type of leaders are we going to create in these schools if when it comes to lead, they're going to be a clique and we can't accept you and we can't accept you and we can't accept you? So listen to his plea. It may be halachically correct, but can't we learn how to live together? Let's go to our interview.
You ask a very, very difficult question. We, as the truth, we in Eretz Israel, we suffer a lot about that. It's a very sad story. In the United States, I think it's much, much better because even Balei Teshuva, they can go to good schools if they are really Balei Teshuva, and they see that they behave according to the halakha. The house is kosher 100%, and they are religious, they accept them. In Eretz Israel, many places, unfortunately, they if the parents are Sephardim, the father is Avrech Koilel, learning Torah, the family are 100% kosher, good. But if the sources, they are Sephardim, Ashkenazim, they don't accept them. And in our generation, when so many people, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Israel became religious, we have to accept everyone. And, you know, in Israel, the population of Israel, the Sephardim became, from the yeshivot, we are the majority now. If you count all the Sephardic yeshivot and Ponovitz, Hebron, all the places, they have 20-30% Sephardim. Together, we are the majority. And I think it's very, very important to accept each other, to give respect to each other, and to live together. We have the same Torah, Baruch Hashem, the same Torah. The same halachot. We have some differences. Harambam said like that, and Tosfot said like that. Ashkenazim follow Tosfot, follow Rashi. We follow Harambam. We can live together with that. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope that situation will change. So I know, I want to tell you, Rav Eliyoshiv, Alav Hashalom, Rav Eliyoshiv, a Goyen Rav Eliyoshiv, he was the greatest posek last generation. I knew him very well. He was fighting all the time with schools, girls' schools, that they didn't accept Sephardim. He was fighting. More than that, he told the mayor of Jerusalem, Uri Lopolyansky, he was the mayor of Jerusalem, he told him, don't give money to schools that don't accept Sephardim. Don't give money. Tell them, I said, don't give them money. And also Harav Shach, Rav Shach established yeshivot for Sephardim. Rav Shach was fighting for the Sephardim all of his life. So we have to follow the Gdolim of last generation, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we have to be together. I hope it will happen.
I want to add on to what the Rav is saying, that Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that he says, a boy who comes from a totally irreligious house, and they send him to yeshiva, and he says, Rav Moshe says, and his parents insist that when he comes home, he takes off his tzitzit, and in the house they don't eat kosher. Rav Moshe says that as long as in the yeshiva he does everything according to halacha, you have to take the boy.
Yes, yes. And I want to tell you, this problem, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Israel, we have Rabbanim with experience what to do with a boy or girl that made teshuvah and their parents are not religious. From one side, they have to make kibud avahem. From the other side, no compromises about Judaism. I want to tell you, my father had a brother. The brother was a colonel in the army of Israel, and he was not religious. He was learning in yeshiva before Milchemet HaShichur, before 1948. He started with Etzel, then with the army. He became a colonel. He got married. He was not religious. My father gave him respect all the time. And his son made teshuva. He became Avreich Kollel. And the parents couldn't accept that at the beginning. They said, you have to give us respect. You have to eat in our house. So they came to my father. My father spoke to them very nice, explained them. They made the house kosher at the beginning. Then they started to keep mitzvot. They saw their son so good, so midot. They saw his wife, his children. His children were growing up very nice, very good with Yirat Shamayim. My uncle and his wife did teshuvah because of that. And when we know how to organize the relationship between the Baalei Teshuvah and their family, they will see that they are afraid that if someone became religious, he will Shabbat, he will come to their house, he will shout, Shabbat, Shabbat. And I think it's very, very important to accept each other, to give respect to each other, and to live together.
What a beautiful, beautiful ending from Rav, son of the Rishon Letzion, Rav David Yosef. Next week, we are going to have Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the Ravid of Yerushalayim, of the Eda Achredis, about 7 or 8 of the most contemporary cutting shilas, an exclusive, long, fantastic interview. I look forward to speaking to you. All the best. David Lichtenstein's Headline Radio.